Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are Mormon patriarchal blessings modeled after Old Testament blessings? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. The Mormon Church wants to give you the impression that they are, in fact, restored Christianity. They often will say that the things that they believe and the things that they practice are things that you can find in both the Old Testament and sometimes even the New. But is that really true when it comes to patriarchal blessings? For the past couple of days, we've been looking at this unique practice within Mormonism, but today we want to ask the question, do we really see the same kind of a pattern in modern Mormon patriarchal blessings that we read about in the Old Testament? And I would argue that in many cases, we certainly do not. Now, Eric, this article that we have been referencing is found in the April 2017 edition of Ensign Magazine. It's titled, Understanding Your Patriarchal Blessing. And as we've explained to our listeners, Mormons believe that they can go to a patriarch in their stake. And a stake is a collection of Mormon congregations called wards. There is a man who is appointed to be the patriarch over that stake, and it is his job to bestow upon members in the church these things that they call patriarchal blessings.
Imagine for a second how much power that man has. He's 55 years or older. It's a lifetime position, and he has the ability to be able to tell someone information that could change the way they think or guide their lives.
And as we were mentioning before, the patriarchal blessings that we have seen, and a member is given a type transcript of the blessing itself, when you read them, they're oftentimes very vague, but they do contain certain points, and that's what this article is bringing out. One, as we talked about, it's supposed to tell that individual what tribe they are from, and it's supposed to be one of the 12 tribes of Jacob, even though this article admits that they are not literal descendants of Jacob. So they may use the word descendant or tribe, but those are not supposed to be taken as most people would understand being a literal descendant of a particular tribe of Israel.
So it must have a basis from the Bible to be able to say that they're restoring this patriarchal blessings that somehow was lost in biblical times. What are the Mormons going to use to be able to show that this is a biblical practice?
Well, they often will go back to, for instance, the blessing that Isaac gave upon Jacob. And I'll just turn to it. That's found in Genesis chapter 28. In the first verse, it says, "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother.'" Now, that's a pretty specific blessing that was given to Jacob. Jacob is told by his father to go to a certain place to find a wife. And as we've been mentioning, patriarchal blessings normally given to Latter-day Saints are not that specific.
Right.
So here we have a very specific statement made to him. And the rest of this goes on to say, "May God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." Now, that sounds pretty specific also. And notice there's no condition, at least here, of Jacob having to meet certain requirements in order for this to happen. And we find that in many of the patriarchal blessings that we have read, If they are hoping to receive the blessing that the patriarch gave them, it's always conditional on their obedience to the church. And certainly we don't see that in this particular case, that's for sure. Another example would be Jacob's blessing to his 12 sons. Now, this is an important point, Eric, because patriarchal blessings, for the most part, are given by the father to the sons. We don't see an example, at least I'm not aware of any, where a patriarchal blessing such as this is given to a daughter, and yet we do know that Jacob did have at least one daughter, but she's not in the mix. We don't read anywhere where Jacob gave a blessing to Dinah, but he does give a blessing to his 12 sons. Does the pattern follow the pattern of modern Mormon patriarchal blessings? And I would say certainly not, at least not in all cases, that's for sure.
I think you're bringing out a good point as far as females today can receive the patriarchal blessing, but we don't see that example. And then listen to what in Genesis 49, what Jacob is saying, for instance, to Judah in verse 8. Judah, you are he whom your brother shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down and he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? And it goes on. And so he gives what doesn't sound like the patriarchs are giving to their people. Here's one more just to tell you. Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between two burdens. He saw that rest was good and that land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Now that had particular meaning to Issachar, but I mean, the generic things that are being said by the patriarchs, doesn't seem to be the same as what we see here, at least in Genesis chapter 49.
And that's the point we're trying to make. The Mormon Church wants to give us the impression that this is a practice that should be a part of the Christian church. But we don't see that precedent in the New Testament. As I was mentioning before, a patriarch is, from the word, it means father. It was Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to his sons, and the only time that we see of a blessing that I'm aware of that it's not directly to his literal sons would be found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, when Moses gives his final blessing on the nation of Israel. I guess a Mormon might say that that was a type of a patriarchal blessing, but again, this blessing, if you will, doesn't seem to fit the pattern of a patriarchal blessing known in Mormonism. For instance, all we find Moses saying to Reuben, let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. There's no other admonitions. There's no other bit of guidance there. It's just let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few.
And think about this, Bill. What is the main purpose of a patriarchal blessing today? Well, for the Mormon church, they want to be able to let their people know which tribe of Israel they belong to.
But, supposedly, but not even that's to be taken literally.
But when was this done in the New Testament? When was there a patriarchal blessing being done by Peter or Paul or somebody they commissioned to be a patriarch? Where do we even hear the office of patriarch in the New Testament? And so it seems to stop soon after Moses, if not right after Moses, of this kind of a blessing. We see some blessings that are given like David gives and a few others, but not in the same sense that Isaac and Jacob and Moses were giving. It's completely different.
And I think you make a great point there, because there's nothing at all wrong with the father of a family to bestow a blessing upon their children. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with that, and there's no admonition against that that we find in the Bible at all. But the Mormons take this concept, and they build a huge doctrine around it. They even have a position in the Mormon church for much of its history, the patriarch of the church. Now, they don't have that any longer. Eldred Smith was the last patriarch of the church. Now, if this was supposed to be something that the church is supposed to have, why was he the last one? Why isn't that continuing on today? Now, the church does have patriarchs on a stake level, on a lower level, but they don't have a patriarch of the church any longer. Why not? If the church was supposed to have a patriarch, then why don't we see anything like that in the New Testament? As you mentioned, there's nothing in the New Testament that even hints that there should be someone on a par to an elder or deacon in the church who was called a patriarch, who was supposed to give out these alleged blessings upon individuals within the church, either on a grand scale, such as in the case of a patriarch of the LDS church, or even on a more minor scale, a stake patriarch. We don't see anything like that in the New Testament. Why don't we see anything like that? If we don't see anything like that, why does the Mormon church have one of those? And then they try to tell us, well, we're a restoration. But you're not restoring anything that was in the early Christian church. We have no mention of this. Now, a Mormon might argue, well, that's part of the plain and precious parts that have been lost. But there again, we have the typical LDS argument from silence. And that's not a very good argument.
It comes down to personal revelation. This church has been given the opportunity to be able to bring back the revelation, to let their members be able to pray and be able to receive this. This comes from the end of the article we've been talking about the past couple of days on page 11. If you've ever wondered what Heavenly Father's will is for you, you're not alone. The Lord understood that you would be faced with many different paths you could pursue in your life, so He has provided you with a personal map to keep your life aligned with His gospel. Patriarchal blessings can't make our decisions for us, but they can lead us to our own personal revelation. Bill, I go to the Bible, and Jesus said very clearly, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." This seems to be extra-biblical, that somehow we can get our personal liahona, our own compass that will direct our lives, and God is somehow going to use this blessing so that I will now know where I'm supposed to go, how I'm supposed to act, maybe even who I'm supposed to marry and which school I go to, but that's not what this patriarchal blessing is doing.
And even if we have questions regarding what we should do, where we should go, the Bible doesn't give us the specifics on that, but it does say in all our ways we are to acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. Why do I need the verbal admonition from a guy that's over 55 years old in the Mormon church to tell me that? The Bible already tells me this. And if the blessing is not all that specific, how is that really helpful? Now, a Latter-day Saint might say it comforts me, but isn't that always based on the presuppositions that they already have and are being told by their church regarding the importance of this? I just don't see, one, that it's a restoration of the way it was done earlier, and I really don't see how it's all that helpful if you know what your Bible has to say.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Did you know that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Mormonism Research Ministry? All of us at MRM want to thank those of you who have faithfully supported our efforts to educate the body of Christ about the differences between Mormonism and Christianity, as well as sharing God's grace with the Mormon people. If you would like to give a special anniversary gift to further our efforts here at MRM, simply click the donate button on our homepage at mrm.org. Your support, as always, is greatly appreciated.